You're listening to the Astrology Hub podcast, practical wisdom for living your life on purpose. With me today is Donna Woodwell. She's a master teacher of astrology and magic, reaching thousands through her courses, videos, and social media. She teaches Astrology Hub's flagship chart reading course, as well as helps bring together some of the brightest lights in the astrology community.
And sitting next to me is Amanda Poole Walsh, the CEO and co-founder of Astrology Hub. She built Astrology Hub from the ground up, and it's now the leading resource for astrological guidance and community, reaching more than 150,000 people globally.
And we're your guides on your journey through the cosmic curriculum. And we want to welcome you all here today and wish you a very happy new moon in Sagittarius. So this is just a reminder to take some time today to set your new moon intentions. And even if you're listening to this episode a little bit in the future, you know, not catching us here on Thursday, December 6th, you can still just take some time to tune into your intentions for this lunar cycle and really work with that new moon energy, the potent energy to create something new. On Monday, we released your weekly forecast for the week of December 3rd. You still have time to tune into it, and the information is still going to be super useful for your weekend. Donna gives a tip for Saturday, actually for Friday and Saturday, that will literally change the way you experience this entire holiday season. So you're going to want to tune into that and get the scoop from Donna on that. And make sure also that you check out episode 001, where Donna and I share our personal stories with astrology and how we came to astrology and why we're so passionate about working with the cosmic curriculum and sharing the insights and tools and perspectives with you. And so you can check that out at episode 001.
Oh yeah, Amanda, it's been such a journey with you. I mean, through it all, we've both come to realize exactly how powerful astrology is. It's such a gift for your own self-discovery.
You know what? And the thing that I love too is when you discover more about yourself, which is just this continual process, right? Like, I don't think we ever get to a place where it's like, I know myself and that's done. But the more that we do that and the more that we understand who we are, it enables us to have so much more compassion for the people in our lives and everyone around us. So it, to me, it's one of the most potent things that we can do for creating more peace and more harmony and more understanding and more connection in the world.
Oh, absolutely. You know, that what you just said reminded me that sometimes I have clients come and see me and say things like, oh yeah, I've already learned that. I've already mastered that. And in the back of my head, I'm thinking, oh, you just threw out like a little red flag to the universe that you need something harder. And so you're going to revisit the same themes on a more sophisticated level to see if you've really learned what you came here to learn. And we're always learning. We're all of us are growing and changing. Otherwise, we would be stagnant and dying. So this is why when you work with the cosmic curriculum from year to year, even though the aspects are the same, you are not the same. You're not stepping into the same river because you're always growing and seeing it from a different perspective.
It really is that spiral image that just helps me so much. Like, we revisit the same themes over and over throughout our life, but like you said, we're at a different point in our life. So we can work with the energy differently and get deeper, richer lessons from it. And you know, one of the things I love to see the most in our community is how working with astrology, working with the cosmic curriculum, creates this sense of connection for people, connection to themselves, like we said, connection to the people in their lives, because now they have a glimpse at or a better understanding of the people in their lives, connection to the universe and the fact that this universe is alive and available to us and communicating with us. And I just read this study that showed that loneliness is such an epidemic right now. And it's not about age. It's not about marital status. It's not about what career you're in. It's not even about how many people are around you or how full your social calendar is. People are just feeling more and more and more lonely. And they even have done some studies to show that loneliness is as dangerous for our health as moderate smoking. And it's like, wow, you know, so even those of us who are health conscious, like, wow, you make all these choices and you're eating organic food and you're doing things for your body. And, but like if underneath it all, you have that sense of loneliness and that the stress that comes with feeling so alone, we may as well be smoking. And it's because we used to live tribally. We used to live in communities. We used to, in the flow of our day, be connected with people that shared a similar set of values. And so that's what I love about Astrology Hub is that, you know, even though it's virtual and, you know, we're not all together in person, it is a place where people can go and know that they're going to reach people with a shared value system. And that is, to me, fundamentally, that we are all connected, that we do matter, that there is purpose, and that our blueprint really holds so many keys to that purpose. And it shows us that we are connected, and it shows us that our lives actually matter. So I really think for both of us, Donna, we've had this journey with astrology that's been very personal. And then now we get to share that with other people. And again, for me, it's like, wow, to be able to steward this thing that it works, you know, and it's ancient, it's been around for 35,000 years, and there's a reason for that. And it really helps people to create this underlying understanding of their connection with themselves, with each other, and with the universe around them. I can't think of anything more amazing than that.
Well, there's a saying amongst astrologers that we all live under the same sky. And in this world where, you know, we're all struggling. We're all struggling with our personal trials. We look at the world on the edge of, you know, some very serious climate difficulties, that we have a kind of celestial music that we are all hearing at the same time. We all experience the new and the full moons at the same time. We all see the planets doing the same things at the same time. It is truly one of the grand unifying principles of, you know, living here on planet Earth. And to be able to tap into that and like all look up and say the same thing. I think I remember seeing a kid's cartoon once upon a time when they were singing about looking at the same moon from different places on the planet. So when you see the moon coming out as a crescent in a few days, and I'm looking at the moon coming out as a crescent in a few days, we're looking at the same moon from the same crescent. That's so that we can share that kind of experience.
I love that, Donna. I can't tell you how many times I drive around. For those of you who don't know, I live on the island of Maui, Hawaii, and the sky, you know, I can really see the sky very well at night, and I can see the stars and the moon. And so many times, you know, as the moon is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger throughout the month, when it reaches that full moon culmination point, I always think of our inner circle, you know, the Astrology Hub's inner circle, our membership group, our community. And I think of all the individuals and that exactly what you just said, the fact that we are looking at the same moon no matter where we are in the globe. And we actually have context and meaning for what that particular moon is symbolizing. And we get to share that language with each other. And, you know, so as part of this show, as part of this podcast, we will be sharing that language with you too. So it's going to be, this is for us such an important way for us to continue reaching more and more of you out there so that we can all be looking up and feeling that connection under this big, amazing, beautiful sky that we get to be under here on this planet. And why don't we go into that now, Donna? So we really have designed this episode to be foundational for all of you. So why don't you tell the audience what we're going to be covering today?
Yeah, well, we know a lot of you aren't familiar with astrology the way we are familiar with astrology. And so we thought it would be fun to dive into questions about what exactly is astrology anyway? And what can it tell you about yourself or all of these things that we've been talking about? Even the words that we use, you know, are something that we can explore together.
Absolutely. We're also going to talk about the term cosmic curriculum. We keep throwing it around. What does that mean? What do we mean by that? And I think what you're going to see is that we really, you may have an idea of what astrology is. You may have an idea of what we mean by the cosmic curriculum. You may have an idea of your chart. Maybe you, I mean, I'm assuming you know your sun sign. You might know your moon and your rising. You might not even know that you have a lot more than just a sun sign. But no matter where you are connecting with us on this journey, it's really important for us to be able to lay that foundation for you so that when we're talking about these things, we have a common understanding. So when we're talking about astrology, we're not just talking about the sun sign horoscope in the back of Vogue magazine. We're talking about something bigger than that. So I'm excited to dive in. Donna, can we start with that word astrology? Like, what does it actually mean?
Absolutely. So everyone's familiar with that 12 zodiac signs that we've read about our whole life. Someone walks up to you and says, hey, baby, what's your sign? You have an answer because we're sort of trained to respond to that question. And this is the popular definition of what astrology is. It's those horoscopes. And that's why many people will argue that it can't possibly work, because we know from personal experience that there are more than 12 flavors of people. But those newspaper horoscopes are really just the tip of a very large iceberg that is astrology, astrology with a capital A. So in short, astrology is one, it's the study of correlations between events that are happening here on Earth and what's going on in the sky. That doesn't mean it's a causal relationship. It's just showing how we move together in this sort of mysterious way. We leave it in the mystery, I suppose. It's also a kind of grand celestial clock that helps us tune into the natural rhythms of life. In astrology, we are constantly shifting from one side to the other side and back again. And it is in that movement, that rhythm of life, that we learn how to change gracefully. Of course, it's also a tool for exploring the union of those two polarities, the polarity between heaven and earth, between the difference of divine and the mundane world, of our rational selves and our intuitive selves, and learning how to live with both in harmony. And it's also helping us to find wholeness and ways that we can embrace our full potential. Doesn't that sound awesome? I know I want some more of that in my life.
It does. Tell me, so when you say that last one, it's a tool for helping us find wholeness and embrace our full potential. How? Like, how does it actually do that?
You know, Amanda, that is an excellent question. How did we get this idea of astrology in the first place? Well, if we go all the way back to the cultures who first created the concept of astrology, Plato, who was very famous, you know, guy that you might have read when you were going to college, sort of a founder of the Western intellectual tradition, actually wrote one of the first myths about astrology. It was the idea that before we were born, we had certain questions that we wanted to answer for ourselves. And so we would meet with the equivalent of our guardian angels, and we would look at different possible lives, different possible containers that would allow us to explore those essential questions that we had in a particular incarnation. And so once we decided on a container, a life that we could continue to wrestle with that question for ourselves, we would basically grab the life, jump down, incarnate, and start our physical journey. Well, that life container that was actually an astrology chart. That's the way they defined it anyway. And so in essence, in the metaphor, the movement of the planets is spinning the divine light into clothing that our soul wears as we incarnate on the physical plane. It's actually quite a beautiful metaphor. So when we are looking at an astrology chart, we are actually looking at the wiring of how the different parts of a person are put together. And once you understand that wiring, you can start to ask questions like, why am I here? What were those essential questions I wanted to explore in my life? And how can I best fulfill the promise of my chart? What areas of life do I focus on?
I love that. And also, how is my personality a vehicle for my spiritual calling, you know, my spiritual impulse or urge? Why did I choose this specific configuration of a personality to express that, you know, and how can I harness the power of the personality to express my spirit or my soul here in this lifetime? So to me, it's like, I love that visual you just gave of the chart, so the astrology chart, which is based on your birth time, location, and day. And And then where all the planets were in the sky at that exact moment of your birth, and having that be the cloth, you know, that being the container that we all chose to attract in the people we would need to attract in, to attract in the experiences, to attract in the family that we were born into, all so that we could answer those questions. And I just absolutely love that, Donna. Thank you so much for that visual. And I love to think of it, the chart, as our divine blueprint. Like you said, the wiring, the actual like coding. If we were to look behind, you know, the inside the computer, it's the code. And so this is, you know, the blueprint of who we are. And so understanding it is really essential to be able to work with it and to be able to express it at its most purest design or intent.
You know, absolutely. And, you know, it's even hard for me to believe. And I've been doing this for, gosh, it's getting closer to 30 years now, but I didn't come into astrology, you know, thinking that it was even possible. You know, how can something so poetic or extraordinary be the way reality is? And yet I see it every day. I see it with my clients. I see it in the work that we do with Astrology Hub. Over and over again, the patterns repeat themselves. And after a while, you're like, you can't just blame it on coincidence anymore. And so you're left with the idea that there is something deeper. There's some deeper connecting thread. And perhaps us and the planets and everything else we're experiencing is connected through this invisible third other thing that we are all moving together with.
Absolutely. Okay. So what about the zodiac? What does the zodiac actually mean?
Okay, so we're going to have to start you going back to your, you know, science class that you had in elementary school. Hopefully you remember the fact that in our solar system, everything revolves around the sun and kind of like a flat plane. I would call it a record player, but that would date myself. So maybe like a CD all spinning around the sun on that sort of same plane. Now, the Earth's tilted a little bit on its axis. And so we see from the planet Earth all the planets going around the same band of the sky, but just tilted at about 23 degrees. That band of the sky where all of the planets appear is called the zodiac. And we call it the zodiac because in ancient Greek, the word loosely translates as the way of life. And it was the place where all the planets moved. And if things moved, they had life. But it also had the secondary meaning of understanding us and what keeps us alive and growing and changing and evolving. So I think that's a beautiful thing. Who, when you think of the word zodiac as the way of life, it has so much more power to it than just those 12 signs that we talk about when we look at our horoscope columns.
Yes, I love that. Okay, what about, I think the next logical place to go would be archetypes. Like when we talk about the zodiac and we talk about the signs and we talk about them being archetypes, what do we mean by that?
Okay, so people ask all the time how astrology works. And we're probably not going to find an answer if you start talking about gravity waves or some other physical mechanism. Rather, astrologers usually talk about the word archetype, which is a word that Carl Jung coined to talk about the level of symbol and metaphor and images and something that subtly brings us together. Think of the example when you have a question in your mind and suddenly on the side of the road, you drive past a billboard that actually is reflective of the question that you had in your head. And that would be one of those situations that taps into the level of archetypes and synchronicities when two things happen simultaneously. So the word archetype actually means the another Greek word. We've got lots of Greek words in astrology. Another Greek word that means the originating shape of something or the symbolic idea beyond just individual instances or something of something. So when we work on this archetypal level, we're talking about the deeper wisdom of how to live, grow, die, and be renewed, not just internally, but also out in the world. And so the symbols for our astrology signs are tapping into that archetypal level. There are signs that have to do with moving outward in the world. There are signs that have us moving inward in our world. They use the classical Greek elements of earth and air and fire and water and how those make us feel. And each one becomes symbolic of the experience that we have when planets move through these places in this very elegant dance.
Well, and archetypes are shared by all humans, regardless of societal upbringing, regardless of, you know, background. It's we share these common stories that we can relate with. I mean, I find it really interesting. My children go to a Waldorf school here on Maui, and one of the things that the teachers do when they're in kindergarten is they study the drawings that the children make, because there's certain archetypal symbol, you know, there's symbolism in drawings for children, no matter where they are in the world, no matter what their houses look like, no matter what their family units look like, no matter what, children all draw certain things all the same. And so they'll watch the development of a child by looking at their drawings. So where do they place the sun on the page? Where do they place the plants on the page? Where does the child draw themselves with their feet on the ground, or are they kind of floating? And all of these are telling a story that, again, are cross-cultural. And so it's these storylines that we all share. And so, you know, one of the things is people, I feel like a lot of times when we're getting into astrology, it's like, okay, well, the first step is like needing to understand yourself, right? And the uniqueness of you. But then there's a point where it's like, okay, it isn't just about me being, I'm just going to use my Capricorn sun, Gemini moon, Aquarius rising. It's not just about me embodying those. It's actually about me embodying and mastering all of the archetypes, you know, all of the signs, and really tuning into the highest expression of all of them. So, you know, I think that's another, you know, speaking to the archetypes, just how we actually work with them and how they play out in our lives. Okay. So Donna, let's talk about the lunar cycle. What, when we talk about the lunar cycle, or when we say things like this lunation, we're going to be working with this theme. What do we mean by lunar cycle?
All right. So just a minute ago, I mentioned that all the planets are moving in this band of the sky called the zodiac. So it appears that the sun is moving along it. And then the moon, which is going around us, it's just still in that same plane. And then as well as Mercury, Venus, Mars, and all the rest of them. So each one of these planets, the moon, seems to make an entire circle around all 12 zodiac signs. Starts at the first sign, Aries, goes to the second sign, Taurus, and so on around the entire collection. Every time a planet does this, we call it the planetary cycle. So in the case of the moon, it's the lunar cycle. While the moon is moving from Aries to Taurus and so on. But the moon is complicated, more complicated than the other bodies in the solar system, because it's going around the Earth. And so the way we see it is in this triple dance of the sun illuminating the moon as the moon circles us. And so the effect is that we see the moon go from dark to a small crescent, to half full, to completely illuminated, and then shrinking again from half to half full, and then a tiny crescent, and then disappearing and starting over. And it makes a brilliant one-month cycle that even if you live in the most light-polluted place on Earth, you can still see the moon. And you can tap into that basic rhythm of disappearing and then reappearing and growing and increasing in light to fullness and then shrinking again down to invisibility again. And so it's the easiest way for us to tap into that essential truth about nature. All things are born and they live and then they die and they're reborn again. And so I know it's been a really powerful tool for me, not just working with my personal life and learning how to change gracefully, but it's a great tool for working in the external world too. When you learn how to plan 1 month at a time and tap into this rhythm, you are naturally not overextending yourself. Because, you know, nature doesn't do burnout. It's only humans who do burnout because we don't know when to stop. Nature has the cycle of rest and renewal built into the system.
Yeah, not only do we not do it, we also don't value it. And we also feel guilty for even taking it. But it's so, like you said, it's so out of alignment with nature to try and go and go and go and produce all the time. So it is such a reminder. It's a monthly cyclical reminder that is really obvious in the sky. And when we tune into it and ask it what messages it has for us, you know, what it's trying to show us, what it's trying to teach us, we can slowly, and I know it's hard. I mean, it's, you know, one of the reasons why I moved from New York City to Hawaii, you know, how many years ago? I don't even know in this moment, right? 7 years ago, was because I had that yearning to have nature be more of my guide. And one of the first things that I fell into was working with the lunar cycle because it is such a guide. All right, Donna, let's talk about the natal chart. When we say natal chart, what do we mean by that?
Okay, so building on the concept, we know there are 12 signs of the zodiac. We know the sun appears to move through all 12 signs of the zodiac over the course of the year. We know that the moon appears to move through all 12 signs of the zodiac through the course of the month. Well, yeah, everything else is moving too. So Mercury does the same thing, moves around the zodiac. Venus does the same thing. Mars and Jupiter and Saturn, plus all the new planets that we've continually discovered out there. So Neptune and Pluto and Uranus and Sedna and Eris and everything out in the outer solar system that you can't even see unless you have a telescope. All of these can be captured in a map. That was the innovation that created the concept of astrology. It was really when these Hellenistic Greeks took their ability to make maps of the surface of the planet. They developed ideas like latitude and longitude so they could plan where things were on the ground. And they said, huh, we can use these concepts to make a map of where things are in the sky. And the moment they did that, it was like creating the ability to draw a picture, to take a photograph of where everything was from a particular place and a particular time on the surface of the earth. In essence, they gave you a very personal connection to where everything is. And that's what created the capacity to see how you personally are reflected in that special, unique moment in the cosmos. Because quite frankly, there are too many moving parts in the sky for any two charts in the history of the planet to ever be exactly the same. So really think about this. No two charts in the history of the planet have ever been completely identical, and no two charts can ever be completely identical. So all of a sudden, instead of being one of just 12, your chart is so unique to you that it will never be repeated. You are the cosmos's one chance to explore what a particular moment in time means. So you better make it a good one.
Perfect. All right. And then we wanted to cover the cosmic curriculum this week too. There's a lot of different things we're going to be exploring as we go throughout this show. But we just wanted to give you a few of the foundational pieces so that as we're having these conversations, you know what we're talking about. So the cosmic curriculum, and I just want to go back to a little story here. When I was, you know, quote unquote, waking up, you know, I don't know how we all have those moments where it's like you kind of went from being asleep to feeling like you were waking up. Or maybe you're one of those people that has just always felt awake and has always felt like everybody else is a little bit crazy. But it happened for me around the birth of my first daughter. And I've always been really interested in self-development and personal development, but I started to get really interested, you know, and wanted to go really, really deep. And so I would read books and I would, you know, find teachers that resonated with me, and it was all great, but it was kind of haphazard. You know, I was like, I would be working on shadow things with one teacher, and I'd be working on forgiveness with another teacher. I'd be working on how to have more compassion in my relationships, you know, through another book or whatever I was studying. When I found astrology, one of the biggest gifts that it gave me is this ability to organize my personal development. You know, what I was focused on. There's a million different things that we can be focused on at any given time, right? There's so much to grow through. But what it did is it helped me see like, okay, this is a time to be focused on this element of your life. This is a time to be focused on another element of your life. And this is a time to leave that other thing behind. Like the energy isn't there supportive of it. And what I began to realize is that astrology gives us this curriculum. It is very intelligently designed. It is aligned with nature because it is nature. It is aligned with the natural flow, the ebb and flow of the cosmic tides, you know. And I could see that, you know, as I would walk through my life, it's like, wow, okay, so now's really a good time to go internal and to really, you know, be asking those deeper questions and to be journaling and paying attention to my dreams. And then another time of the year, it'd be like, this is a time to be manifesting, to be producing, to be putting things out there. And so the cosmic curriculum is this conscious awareness of what's in the spotlight, so to speak, what's being highlighted at this particular time. What can we really pay attention to? And if we were reading a book, you know, what's the sentence on the page that is like called out and really brought to our awareness? And so it just helps us to simplify and really align the work that we're doing with the energy so that the work that we're doing is supported. And what I noticed is that I was able to make quantum leaps. You know, I was able to really accomplish things in a short, and I don't mean accomplish like getting things done. I just mean both internally and externally, there was this alignment that was happening and still continues to happen and be refined. And that this cosmic curriculum, again, it's intelligently designed. We actually don't need to make it up. It's already there. We just have to learn the language and be able to understand what it's trying to say to us. Donna, I love when you talk about the word astrology and what it actually means. Can you tell everybody the definition of astrology?
Yeah, astrology, again, Greek word, comes from two complementary concepts. Astro, meaning of the stars, and logic, just like the logic that we, you know, thoughts that go through our brain, cooking one to the next thing. So astrologos is star logic on one level, but it's also the organizing principle of the stars. In essence, it's the cosmic curriculum. And when we can tap into it, exactly as you say, it's the study of what it means to live in harmony with rhythms. It is a rhythm. Astrology is music. It's the music of the spheres that can be the soundtrack of our lives if we're willing to embrace it.
Absolutely. I can't tell you how much, you know, so we're in Saturn and Capricorn right now. We'll be in Saturn and Capricorn for another year or so. And it feels like a soundtrack of music for every single thing I'm doing in my life right now. It's like the Saturn and Capricorn soundtrack of music, which we'll be talking about more coming up for all of you who are like, what is she talking about Saturn and Capricorn? But it is so helpful to know that that track is playing in the background as all the different things come up in our lives, you know, all the challenges, all the opportunities, all the, you know, relationship things, everything. It's when we understand that organizing principle, like, okay, all of these things are happening because they're helping you master this one piece of life. They're helping you gain mastery and get better. So it is benevolent. It is for your good. And when you know what the lessons are meant to be, it's easier to actually capitalize on them and actually, you know, actually use them in a way that helps you grow and helps you get that self-mastery and really progress throughout this lifetime. And I really do think that for most human beings, a life without progression or a life without progress and growth is basically death. You know, so I think this is huge for us to know that we are aligned with something that is designed to help us grow through time, through that spiral that we talked about earlier. And then the other thing it helps us do is track our progress to see like, oh, wow, I was working on this issue last year, but it looked different. You know, there were different challenges. And now I can come at it from a new angle because I have those lessons behind me and I've been paying attention. I've been bringing my consciousness to it. So,
you know, that's a great example, the Saturn and Capricorn that you bring up, because everything in astrology not only suggests the energy, but it suggests the solution at the same time. So I'll use Saturn and Capricorn as the example. You know, Saturn pulls our energy down and Capricorn's a very stabilizing place. So Saturn and Capricorn is shorthand for saying all the energy is pulled down and anchored in the earth. Well, how's that going to make you feel? Well, for some people who are used to feeling, you know, optimistic and happy, they might feel like they're carrying around a big backpack full of rocks. And if you're struggling against it, you know, it might feel depressing. It might feel like there's no way out, that you can't see past the pain of carrying these rocks around. Or you can recognize that what it's trying to do is to whisper, be here now. Be here in this moment. Take every moment as it comes and embrace our life as incarnated beings. And don't worry about the future all the time when your power comes from being here now. And if you can make that mental switch in your head just by using the astrology, all of a sudden it's like, oh, I know where to find my power. It's here. It's here where I am and the choices I'm making in this moment. And that shifts it away from feeling like you are staring at the ground with no way out. Does that make sense?
Totally. So we are going to be doing an episode coming up soon that will help you make sure that all of your goals and your intentions and things for 2019 are aligned with the Saturn and Capricorn energy. But like you said, Donna, if you're not aware of what's happening, you will feel like you're being punished. You'll feel like all of a sudden life just became mundane and you're being forced to focus on things that are just not that fun. You know, like the more third dimensional aspects of life, like your finances or your health or your budgeting of your time, of your resources. And if you realize, though, that that is what is on the cosmic curriculum right now, that's what we're meant to be focused on. That's what we're meant to be mastering. It's like, okay, it's an opportunity. Like it might not be the funnest, but it's also like I realize that it's something I need to be focused on. And if I don't, I'm probably going to pay some consequences. So I may as well, you know? So I really just think it informs so much and it just helps us to surrender to what's happening and not just surrender like, fine, I'll just roll over, but surrender in when I use that word, it just feels like this, like settling in, like, okay, I can do this. And I know that this is where I need to focus my energy right now. So I will. And I know that it's supported. So if I do, it's actually not going to be as hard as I thought. You know, I can actually, there's actually some energy behind it. So I'll probably be able to do it easier than anticipated. So again, this is what the cosmic curriculum is all about. This is what we're exploring in this podcast. This is what we want to help you to implement in your life. And so that you can feel this, you can feel what we're talking about. Right now, we know it's just words. We know it's just our stories. And we can't wait to hear from you, to hear your stories and how it's helping you in your life and how it's helping you make better decisions and feel more empowered and feel more passionate and aligned with what it is you came to do here and more connected with everything. So we wanted to leave you with a few tips for working with this show. And what we would love to do is recommend that you tune in every week. Of course, we would love to have you here every week. If without you, we won't have a show. But we also know that tuning in with the rhythm of the forecast that we're going to release every Monday. So every Monday, you'll have a new weekly forecast. Every Thursday, you'll have an episode that will help you work with that energy of the week. We'll be bringing on guests who will also help to supplement what Donna and I are saying and offer their own tools and tips. So just tune in every week. And if you'd like to get alerted to tune in every week, please go to the show notes and click on the link that will allow you to sign up. We will be sending both email announcements that episodes are live, also Facebook Messenger announcements. So if you want to get on our many chat list, you can sign up through Facebook Messenger. All the links to do these things are in the show notes. So that will help you to tune in. And then the other thing is to start to pay attention to the lunar cycle themes. So we're going to be telling you what the themes are for each lunar cycle. And what you can do is just start walking with these concepts. So if there's a lunar cycle, let's say, where we're exploring the concept of compassion, like, what is compassion? What does that actually look like in my life? How can I begin to practice it and really embody compassion? That's just an example. So what we're inviting you to do is walk with the lunar cycle themes, see how they show up in your life, see what opportunities they provide to really start mastering and working with. And then also that will help you to really experience them in your own body, which is going to help you become more masterful with those different themes. We also invite you to set goals with us around the new moon. So a lot of what we're going to be doing is getting into this rhythm ourselves and really working with the rhythm and feeling it month in, month out, month in, month out. So starting to set your goals around the new moon and then tune back into those goals around the full moon. That's like your checkpoint. It's a natural built-in checkpoint. How am I doing? This is what I wanted to accomplish this lunar cycle. Am I doing it? How's it showing up? What blocks are there to me actually getting these things or bringing these things forth in my life? So those are our top tips for working with the show. We're going to continue to share things as we go along. And we are now at our time.
Wow, that went so fast.
And if you like today's show, please do us a favor and subscribe, rate, and review it. When you do that, you are helping us get to the new and noteworthy status for podcasts, which is going to help us get the wisdom and power of astrology out to more and more people just like you who could benefit. So thank you so much for doing that. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Astrology Hub podcast. We can't wait to continue exploring with you and bringing you astrology's most practical wisdom so you can live your life on purpose. We'll catch you on the next episode.
Hi, this is Chris Kaplan, the producer of the Astrology Hub podcast. This episode is over, but check the show notes for links to products and services you've heard about during this episode. And if you enjoyed our show, please subscribe and rate using the subscribe button wherever you listen to your podcasts.